Our topic for today is Never Man Spake Like This Man. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank you for this day, for this morning, when we can open up into your word and consider the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he would speak with authority, how he would speak with compassion and mercy, and how he would speak with love. And Father, even this morning, as we would desire to learn from your word, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and help us to learn and put it into practice in our own lives so that we might be of use to you. We thank you for this time and we thank you for your word, and we ask all this in the most precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's turn into John's Gospel, chapter 7. We are probably going to stay here in John's Gospel, chapter 7, the entire time. And I'd like to try and read this entire chapter, if possible. I'm going to start off by reading the first 36 verses. John's Gospel, chapter 7, and first 36 verses. And the topic, like I said, Never Man Spake Like This Man, is taken from the verse number 46. Reading from verse 1, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law. Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, then the law of Moses should not be broken. Are ye angry at me, because I have made a man very whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said one of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him, and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles, and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this, that he said, Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. Here we see a passage where the Lord Jesus Christ is in Galilee. It is a passage before the Feast of Tabernacles. A couple of months, probably about 5 to 6 months after the Feast of the Passover. But the Feast of the Tabernacles is a very important feast to the Jews, where they are reminded of their past, how they dwelt in tents in the wilderness. And it is just before that scene that we are here. And Jesus says here, and we read here in verse 1, After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. If we read the previous chapters, we would see how the Lord Jesus Christ has come to this conclusion that the Jews are after him, so that they might be able to kill him. And now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. The portions that we read here, we would see quite a few groups of people, and all of them have their own opinions here. And we are going to see a couple of them here as well. And we started off by reading about his brethren. In verse 3, His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Yes, you have the Lord Jesus Christ's brothers with him here, and they desire to go for this feast. And they are telling the Lord Jesus Christ himself to go ahead to this feast and show forth who he is by showing some of the miracles that he has done in the previous chapters that we read. But I want to draw your attention here now in verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, Never man spake like this man. My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Think about those words. What is the Lord Jesus Christ trying to tell them, his own brothers? It comes to me that he's almost trying to say, that you are of this world, and that he is not of this world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there is a lesson for us here that we need to consider. Persecution would come to all Christians. And when I say persecution, it does not have to be the ones where we are physically abused, but it could come in different ways. And if we are a Christian, we are persecuted
at some point.
We don't belong to this world, and the world knows it, and therefore we will face certain kinds of persecution. And if there is a Christian here who does not face persecution, then we need to really examine ourselves. If we identify with the world, if we go along with the world, we will not face any persecution, because then we belong to the world. But the moment we identify ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is going to be opposition. There is going to be persecution. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling them, reminding them that He is not of this world, whereas they are of this world. And that the world do not hate them, because they are part of this world. But the world hates Him, the Lord Jesus, because He declares to them and testifies to them what the world is like. And therefore in verse 8, the Lord Jesus Christ tells them, "Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come." So the Lord Jesus Christ tells them, go ahead, go to the feast. That was more important to His brethren rather than being with the Savior themselves. His brothers did not believe in Him. And reading further on, let's continue from verse 10. "But when His brethren were gone up, then went He also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought Him at the feast and said, Where is He? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning Him, for some said, He's a good man. Others said, Nay, but He deceiveth the people. Howbeit no man spake openly of Him for fear of the Jews." Yes, He did go up to the feast. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ has His time as to when He does certain things. We considered earlier in the meeting about the Lord Jesus Christ meeting the Father's will. And all that has a time involved. And here again, the Lord Jesus Christ goes quietly into the midst of this feast. In secret, He lands up there. And the Jews are seeking for Him, and they are asking this question, where is He? You remember back when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, that the same question was asked by the wise men when they saw the star and came seeking. They had the same question, where is He? But the reason why they asked this question was to worship this person. Whereas here you have a group of people asking the same question, where is He, in order to take Him and kill Him. They were seeking to take His life. We can do a study with that itself, by considering that question, where is He? How different groups of people have thought of finding this person. And then we read here as to how some of the people began to say that He's a good man. Others said, no, He deceiveth us. And yet the people were not willing to speak up. They were quiet. They were afraid of the Jews. And further we read now in verse 14, now in about the midst of the feast, somewhere around the middle of that feast, which is about a week's time, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Never man spake like this man. In verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The Jews indeed marveled at the Lord Jesus Christ. The authority with which he speaks, the knowledge that he has, they also know that he came out of Galilee, and that is what they are considering him to be from. When we read in the later chapter, the later verses, we would see how they've missed the point. They do not want to accept that this is the very Son of God, that he is God. They consider him to be from Galilee, and they are wondering, how could he have learned? How could he know all these things when he has never been to school? These people, the priests, the Jewish people have all been taught the Word of God. They have been taught, they have been to school to learn from their rabbis. But they marvel because they have not seen this person taught. And yet what great words he spoke here. That his doctrine is not of his own, but his that sent me. Now the Lord Jesus Christ also brings to them the law of Moses. In verse 19, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The law also says, do not kill. And here are some people seeking after him to put him to death. Yes, Moses gave them the law about the circumcision, which was from their fathers. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ says that they would do it even on Sabbath, on the Sabbath day, and would take offense of the Lord Jesus Christ when he would heal someone on the Sabbath day. And in verse 25, you see the people speaking again. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. The people are talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were wondering whether the rulers knew who this person is, that he is the very Christ. But then they also are thinking to themselves and talking amongst them that they know when Christ is to come. We know that where he would come from, but no one knows when he would come. And now Jesus speaks in verse 28 in the temple. Never man spake like this man. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. He claims that he is God himself. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid his hands laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. And in verse 31, and many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Again in verse 33, never man spake like this man. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. He shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, thither he cannot come. You know, they were perplexed. What is he talking about? We know from where he is, and we know who he is. And why does he say that we cannot find him? Now you see here from verses 37 onwards that it's a change in the tone of the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks to the people. He realizes the people are being pulled in different directions. There is a group of people with a law, and that these people are expected to abide. And that there is the Lord Jesus Christ with the truth. And some of them have noticed that this is the Christ. And on the last day of the feast, he says in verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. The call was made to the people that those who were seeking, those who were thirsty, to come to him, and that he would fulfill and he would satisfy. And that call is out even to us today. And if there is anyone here who's listening, the Lord Jesus Christ give you that same call. If any of you thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He will satisfy. He will fulfill. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the opportunity, because the Lord Jesus Christ has given you this invitation to come to him, and he will never turn you away. Now in verse 40 we read some interesting things. Yea, many of the people therefore, when they heard the saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. And others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said, that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Yes, some people recognized that he is the Christ. And some recognized that he is probably a prophet. And yet others brought in the scriptures and said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? He's supposed to be from Bethlehem. He's supposed to be from David. What does this tell us? That they have really not tried to find who this person is. They have really not found his roots. Now you remember back in verse 32, we read about how the Pharisees and the chief priests had sent some officers out to take him. Now we come to verse 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees. They are coming back. They have returned. And they said unto them, the Pharisees are asking, the chief priests are asking their officers, why have ye not brought him? And the officers answered, "Never man is fate like this man." These officers, having heard everything that the Lord Jesus Christ had said, are also now considering as to who this person really is. There is no one that they know who spoke like him. There is no one that they know before him who has spoken like him. And then this is what the Pharisees had to say. Then answered them the Pharisees, "Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? The ones who are learned, have they believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. The common man, they do not know the law." Nicodemus said unto them in verse 50. You remember Nicodemus, we've read of him in the past. Back in chapter 3, how he came to the Lord Jesus Christ by night. And he is one amongst them, one of the Pharisees. And he speaks up. Verse 51, "Doth our Lord judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth?" And this is what his colleagues have to say. They answered and said unto him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." Now here Nicodemus faces his own colleagues, who now are asking him whether he's also been deceived. Doesn't he know that there would be no prophet out of Galilee? Because they think the Lord Jesus Christ is out of Galilee. These are the people who are supposed to be learned. They are the ones who are supposed to know the scriptures. And they are the ones who are supposed to be teaching the people. And yet, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, they missed identifying who he is. And they did not want to recognize the claims that he made, that he is God himself, and that there is a day that he is going back. "Never man spake like this man. He spoke with much authority. He spoke with much wisdom." And I'm going to move into chapter 8 quickly and look at a few verses here. Now there are some scholars who believe the first few verses here in chapter 8 probably do not belong to this section. But either way, look at verse 53 of chapter 7. "And every man went unto his own house." And if you continue reading in verse 1 of chapter 8, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. So the people went home. Jesus went unto the mount. And then in verse 2, "And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not." Jesus was away in the mount. The next day he came into the temple and started teaching. But the rulers of the day were still after him. They were trying to find fault. They were trying to find a reason as to disprove who he is. And they brought a person caught in adultery. And they brought the person before the Lord Jesus Christ. And they wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to give a verdict. In other words, as to what to do. Should we stone or no? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is such a graceful person. He did not want to condemn her for what she did. And neither did he say anything to the rulers. He kept quiet. He stooped down, did whatever he had to do with his fingers. He never said a word to them. But the people continued to ask him. In verse 7, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. What tremendous wisdom. It could only come from the Lord Jesus Christ. Never man spake like this man. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Verse 9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the elders, even unto the last. And Jesus left alone, and the women standing in the midst. Verse 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Such grace. Such compassion. Again, this could come only from the Lord Jesus Christ. Never man spake like this man. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What mercy. Never man spake like this man. And this morning, I would look at our own lives and wonder, after reading this section, chapter 7 and parts of verse chapter 8, what is there in this for us today? Do we hear him speak to us? Or are we so busy in our busyness that we have no time to hear him speak? We live in a busy city. We all have the same kinds of problems. All of us have only 24 hours in a day. And it is up to us to prioritize how we are going to make use of this time. The Lord speaks to us every day, but are we listening? He would speak to us through his word, but would we know if he is speaking to us through his word unless and until we read his word? Do we have the time? Do we take the time? We all have our reasons. We all have our excuses. We can all justify. But beloved, we need to hear him speak. You know, I can tell you this past 2-3 weeks, I was trying to finish up a paper. I set myself a date as to when I wanted to finish it. And believe me, it didn't matter. Even if I worked overnight or part of the night, worked till 3 in the morning, come home, get about 5 hours of sleep, and I'm up at 8 or 9 in the morning finishing that paper. I had an objective. I found time. It's not something that I do routinely. I don't need to write a paper routinely. But we will make time for what we want to make time for. Pressures of work, pressures of the family. Do we take time to listen to the one who can speak? And for us parents, it is so important for our children to see how we make use of our time, so that when they grow up, they also know how they need to make use of their time. Where we spend our time is where they will spend their time. What is our interest will be their interest. If we spend time reading the Word, teaching them, showing them, they would do what we do. Never man spake like this man. Would we be willing to listen to him and hear him? Our God and our Father, we thank you for this time when we could look together in your Word and to consider the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, one who is full of wisdom, one who is full of grace, and one who speaks with authority. Father, we just pray that you would give us the desire to learn from your Word and to consider you every day and to listen to your still small voice. Father, we just pray that even as we go, that these words would encourage us as we live here, that everything here on earth will pass, but we should have that eternal vision of being with the Lord Jesus. We thank you for this day again, and we ask all this in the most loving name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.